The Gospel of John, as we work our way towards Easter, as we're in the midst of Lent, hence all the purple everywhere that we have, as we have about four more weeks to go. The irony of Easter this year is that Easter is on April Fool's Day, and I've already been laughing a lot about things I've been seeing, ideas for sermons and stuff like that, saying no fooling for Easter Sunday. But we're not there yet. Part of our humanity, I think, to push on through, to get to the good part, to get to the easy part, to get to the encouraging part, to want to skip over the hard part. And so today we are starting to delve into some of the hard part of the story of Jesus. After having celebrated and heard so many great things and seeing great responses of people, we come now to his arrest, where Jesus has been abandoned by most of his friends. And is being questioned by the people who already know the answers to the questions that they're asking. And so today we're reading from John chapter 18, verses 12 to 27. If you want to follow along in your pew Bible, that's on page 1049. And I invite you to listen for the word of God. So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and they bound him. First, they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas, he was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple, they followed Jesus. And since that other disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside at the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and he brought Peter inside. And the woman said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" And Peter said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it and warming themselves. Peter also was standing with them and warming himself. And then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. And Jesus answered, saying, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said." And when he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus on the face, saying, "Is this how you answer the high priest?" And Jesus answered, If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" And then Annas sent Jesus bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now, Simon Peter was standing and warming himself by that fire, and the people around him asked him, You're not also one of those disciples, are you?" And Peter denied it, saying, "I am not." And one of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off in the garden, asked, "Didn't I see you in the garden with him tonight?" And again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, the cock crowed. This is the word of the Lord. This is the picker-upper, isn't it? So I thought I'd make it even more picker-upper by talking to you about Hamlet, a real picker-upper. It is probably one of the most famous pieces of Shakespeare, and it is a tragedy. I myself prefer the comedies. But our children are reading lots of Shakespeare in school, and then poor Sophia is reading Othello for the third time in school in the last 4 years. And I start by thinking about Hamlet, and do you know the famous quote of Hamlet? "To be or not to be," it's written right up there. We're probably the most famous speech or poem that Shakespeare writes, and here's some highlights of it. "To be or not to be, that is the question.
whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing in them to die, to sleep, but that the dread of something after death, the undiscovered country, from whose bourne no traveler returns, puzzles the will, and makes us rather bear those ills we have than to fly to others that we know not of. You understood that, right? Piece of cake. Hamlet, if, let me refresh your memory, Hamlet is a really perky story. Hamlet's father is killed at the beginning by his uncle, who then marries his mother so that he can become king. And poor Hamlet is reduced to wondering if he should kill himself or take on a fight, and he spends his time talking to a skull. There's a picture right up there. And what he's saying in this poem is he's asking about life. Is it worth it to live? Life brings pain. Love is what brings us slings and arrows. As good as it feels, it's like being shot by arrows and having to survive. What should he do? Should he persevere knowing it's going to get harder? Or should he just kill himself and end it? Go to sleep, as the poem says. Move on to that undiscovered country. But if you choose that way out, you don't know what will happen. Is it better to choose the evil you know or the unknown which you cannot? That's basically what the whole play is about. And that is part of life. Now, we might say, well, that's not a picker-upper. There's no way that would win the Oscar tonight. But it's asking that essential question that we all ask ourselves in life. Who am I? What is life about? We all know we are going to die, but as Hamlet says in the play, thinking about death makes cowards of us all. We all are going to pass by it, but none of us want to talk about it. Today's scripture asks some of those same questions, or the big question, who are you? Who are you? Now, if you remember the story, you can go to the next one, Albert, for me. It is about Peter, and he is denying Jesus. And Jesus has already said, when they were having dinner earlier, you're all going to abandon me. And Peter says, oh, not me, no, amen. I'm with you all the way to the end, baby. And Jesus says, nice try. But Peter, even you, three times tonight, before tomorrow morning, three times tonight, you will deny me. No way, I am with you. Come on, J-Man, let's go. That's what Peter said. And then we get to today's scripture, which is a story of Peter doing exactly what hours before he said he would never do. Three times in quick succession, he says, I am not with him. I do not know him. I am not a disciple of Jesus. This is a picture, it's kind of whitewashed, but I always think of this story this way. Here's Peter, and he's just like overcome with grief and despair. I think he says he doesn't know Jesus out of fear. He is afraid of being arrested. He is afraid of dying, of the unknown, of that undiscovered country that he doesn't want to discover. And yet, if you look at the story, it is not about Peter all by himself. It's more like the next slide. Because if you look at the story, the way John tells the story, he goes back and forth from Jesus to Peter to Jesus to Peter. Jesus is being questioned at the same time that Peter is being questioned. And Jesus is being asked, are you the one? Are you the one that did all those things that everybody knew about? Are you the one that said you were the Messiah? And he is standing up in front of the leaders and he says, I am. Peter, on the other hand, is outside in the courtyard, and he's sitting down in the darkness for fear, and the slaves are asking him, aren't you one of his disciples? I could swear I saw you with him the other day. I am not. And it goes back to Jesus, I am. And it goes back to Peter, I am not. And then our story ends in the way that we've selected it today. What's interesting is that Peter doesn't need to say, I am not. He is giving his answer to slaves and servants, if you look at the story. And in their day and age, legally a slave and a servant, their word was worth nothing. You could not be arrested or convicted of anything by the word of a servant or a slave. And so while Jesus stands up to the leaders in the light, Peter, who is in the darkness of the courtyard in the cold, refuses to stand up for what he believes and who he is, because he is afraid of people that can do him no harm. There is a contrast. Most scholars would say that it's clear there's a contrast. Only John tells the story where both stories are happening at the same time. The rest of it is just Peter by himself. While Jesus stands up, Peter can't. Jesus is clear in who he is, and Peter seems to have no idea who he is. Even though just a little bit ago, he sure seemed to be proud of being a disciple of Jesus. Now, you know what happens to the story, don't you? It all works out okay, right? Jesus dies, he comes back, Peter is forgiven, and it's all good. No, I see that in a funny way, but oftentimes we rush through the story to get to the good part. Don't you want to do that? Rush through to the good part? I started binge-watching this, show yesterday, and I binge-watched 6 hours of it. Because I want to get to the good part. I got 3 more hours to go, I think. I ran out of time. We want to rush through the uncomfortable things. I went and visited someone in the hospital, this week, who is probably going to die with 2 types of cancer. And in the conversation, I don't get to say, oh, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. Probably not. No, I didn't say probably not. But probably not. There's something in us that wants to rush to the good part, rush past the ugly part, rush past the uncomfortable part. We want to rush to where Peter's forgiven and he's reinstalled and restored and he's loved and he knows who he is, and then he moves on in life. But in the story today, Peter does not know who he is. He is completely forgotten. He has forgotten who he is, who Jesus is, and that they are connected. If you look at the story, and you look at the language, the words, and therefore gate and courtyard, are the same words that are used only one other time in the Gospel of John, and that is in the teaching of the Good Shepherd, where Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. I am the gate by which the sheep enter into the sheep pen or the courtyard. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And I lay down my life for my sheep. It can't be coincidence that this is the only 2 times that these words are used in the whole story of John. There's a connection John's trying to make. And I think the connection he's saying is that Peter forgets who he is. It's not just that he's denying Jesus. He forgets who he is. He is denying himself. Jesus knows who Peter is. Good Shepherd knows the sheep. The sheep are supposed to know the voice of the shepherd. But Peter gets lost out of fear, out of hurt, out of despair. It's easy to say, well, I wouldn't do that. In fact, I've said that. I don't know about you. Have you ever said that? I remember in college, I was really involved in InterVarsity, and I was one of the leaders of our group, and we would talk a lot about faith, and would you be strong? And I remember, this was in the early 90s, and the Soviet Union was going strong, but we were destroying it in the church I was going to. We were helping to destroy the evil empire by sending Bibles. And so every week, I would buy a new Bible in Russia, and I would send it off to some address that somebody gave me, believing that it was going to take down the evil empire. And I was convinced that we would talk about, if you went to Russia, would you stand up to the Soviet police and would you say, I follow Jesus, even if it means you're going to be shot dead? Would you have the courage to do it? Yes, I would, is what I thought. I was convinced that at 19, I knew. And yet something happened, and we'll go to the next slide. And that year when I was at school, this is at UC San Diego where I went, it's the gym. And that year, when I was so convinced I would give my life to save all the people from the evil Soviets, there was a bomb threat on our campus. And the bomb threat was at the Gay Union, which I wasn't even sure what that was at the time. It was a really small building hidden off behind the dumpsters in the eucalyptus forest. And they had an event called the Prom We Never Had. And that event was destroyed by a bomb threat. And the FBI came into the campus. And they were looking for who had called in this serious bomb threat to stop this prom for gay and lesbian students that were doing it by them in their union, way off on the side of the campus. And so the whole campus gathered together for a giant rally saying, we will not tolerate the threat of assassination, basically, on the campus. Now, I was very active in the leadership of InterVarsity, and so as a group, we went to this rally that took place on this mound in front of the gym right there, and everyone from the campus was there. Well, not everyone, not all 10,000, but a lot of people. And we all wore InterVarsity t-shirts that said, in Christ, I am a new creation. And we sat together in the group of people that were at the vigil and the protest, and we were making a standing for what we believe to be right, that all people are loved by God, that all people deserve freedom and safety and recognition. And towards the end of the rally, one of the main leaders, the president of InterVarsity, was actually invited to speak, and he spoke as a Christian in the rally, saying, we will not tolerate this kind of violence towards other people. We will not tolerate the lack of love of our neighbors because we believe that God loves us all. And during the rally, all of us were invited to stand, to say, I will not tolerate. And I was terrified to stand. I was terrified to stand up because I thought if I did that, people would think, he's gay. Now that sounds stupid, doesn't it? But here I was a couple Sundays before, I was ready to die to stop the Soviets. Now, there was no way I was ever going to go to the Soviet Union to deliver Bibles. I could afford to buy a $5 copy of Mail. But I spent all my time talking about that. But here I was in a place where I was invited to stand for what Jesus was about, what I claimed to be about, and I was afraid to do so because I was embarrassed of what people might think about me. I was more concerned with their thoughts than about my own thoughts. I just like Peter, sold out. I forgot who I am because who I thought other people might think I was. And thinking about that, how we get into this week's story, because it's not so much about denying Jesus. Would you be willing to give your testimony to Osama bin Laden in a elevator if people are going down? I've heard that people ask that question before to me, and that is the stupidest waste of time I've ever spent in my life. But we would talk about it. And yet here, when it comes down to the nitty-gritty where I am invited to take a stand for what I believe and who I am because of what I believe, I was fearful to do so. I was fearful because of that undiscovered country, of what I didn't know might happen, what I didn't know could happen, that might impact me or make me uncomfortable or make me forget. I neglected, as it says in the Good Shepherd, to know that the Good Shepherd does everything for the sheep, that I am part of that flock, that we are that flock, that's who I am. Not my actions, but it's who I am in relationship to that Good Shepherd. And I forgot the next one, that is what Jesus says just a little bit before he's arrested. That unless the seed dies and falls into the ground, it cannot grow and bear fruit. It's easy to skip over that. In fact, the people who arranged this reading of the gospel, for some reason they chose to skip over this uncomfortable saying. Hurry on to easier things. But what Jesus says and what we've seen in baptism as we've reflected on that liturgy and even as we've sung it today is Jesus says that somehow or another we are free and alive because we God and because we live again. That we are who we are because of Jesus. We are who we are because of who we are together in Jesus. And that they are connected. And that sharing is because I am, because Jesus is. And we are. I think that's actually what Peter forgot. It's definitely what I forgot. Not just that day when I was 19, but often. I forget, who am I? When no one is looking, who am I? When people are looking, who am I? Do I live what I believe, what I trust, and what I put my hope? Will I take a stand for my neighbor, for my friends, for the one who I say is Lord and Savior, who has shown me what life is about? Now, it's easy to get lost in all that in a hypothetical question. And I feel that in myself, like, well, let's just rush on to a hypothetical question that we could ask. If you were with Donald Trump on a sidewalk, what would you tell him? If you were over here, what would you tell him? If you were going down the elevator with Vladimir Putin, what would you tell him? It's probably never going to happen. But you will probably this week be tempted by the chance to take a shortcut. Maybe financially or legally at work or something like that. Or you will be tempted to look the other way when someone is asking for help. You will be tempted to turn a deaf ear to someone else. You will be tempted to be more concerned about yourself, fearful of being forgotten, if you act or if you stand up. We will be faced with that, won't we? All of us. And if you're unlucky, you might run into the ladder. Oh dear, but probably not. Hamlet, I think, is asking the same question that is underneath this part of the gospel. Who are you? Who are you? And why are you who you are? The last slide is a picture that's on the bulletin that I really liked, and it is this statement saying that faith is not a religion, but about a relationship. We are who we are not because of what we believe or what we do or what we buy or what we have. We are who we are because of our relationships. And the invitation to remember that we are because Jesus is. And that we are becoming. That more and more every day, just like that seed that dies, in the order to
our song this morning is a new hymn to an old hymn as the band gets ready. So you will recognize the music, but it has new words written by a prolific Methodist pastor who must in her spare time write new hymns. And so I invite you to stand as we are able, as we sing together, "Jesus Went Out to a Garden."